What happened was, in the Philippines, something happened that I felt I was left out. And it wasn't that way at all, but that's the way I perceived it. And what happened was Cindy woke up in the middle of the night and needed to talk to Karen about something and woke her up. I was already awake, and so she goes, "Karen, wake up, wake up." And Karen was awake. And let me call that. And so I'm laying there going, "Oh, so she doesn't need to talk to me about any of this stuff." And so, which it wasn't any of my business anyways, as I look back on it, but sitting laying there, the devil, just like she said, just takes over your thoughts and just goes crazy. I mean, it just starts blowing up, blowing up, blowing up. And before you know it, it's a big snowball, and it's just crazy. And so, like the next morning, I've come along enough spiritually to know something wasn't right, and I wasn't thinking right. I knew that. I recognized it wasn't my thoughts. I knew it wasn't God's thoughts. But I thought that if I just stuffed it down and went to God with it and said, "You know, I recognize this is not right, but what do I do with it?" That it would be okay, just kind of leave it alone and sweep it under the rug, so to speak. But like Cindy said, the other person, since it is so spiritual, it just released so much stuff. And, of course, she picked up on it immediately. And and I still was in such a closed-down mode that I thought that I could keep anybody from knowing that, and it wasn't that way. So she hit me with it probably pretty fast, I guess, that same morning, and I tried to deny it, tried to cover it up, and almost say there wasn't a problem when it was just torment inside of me, really. And so I went to God with it and said, "You know, I hate this, what's going on?" And that was the night of the crusade that we did the control thing, where we went around the circle in the building. And so I said, "God, you know, I know this. A lot of this has to be control." So I waved by to the control, and I thought it was better. I thought it was gone. But it wasn't. I still knew something there wasn't right. So it was probably a couple of days later, and I could see how with my mom, this is exactly what she did to me. And without saying anything, I would feel so terrible. But like we were talking about it later, I would take it in that I was so bad, so I just deserved it anyways, and not really react to it. So essentially, I was doing the same thing she was doing. But like with my son, he was constantly saying, "You're judging me, you're judging me." And I'd say, "What are you talking about? I don't judge. I don't do that no more." And but that's, he never took on that he was a bad person, but he would turn it around to me, and that's why he would say he would hate me and I was judging him. So as I started to see that more and more, and had it pointed out to me too, I said, "Well, I know something's not right, and I don't know what to do." So I just finally apologized. I said, "I'm sorry for the passive aggressive thing." That's all I knew, and it just kind of took off from there.
And tell a little bit how we got to it, about the what really got us to kind of tear it apart to see it as something we never dealt with before, about the Owen Herter thing.
Oh yeah. So something similar had happened a couple weeks before, and again, it was the same thing. It was a situation that I took in, where I perceived something as being hurt, being left out. It's my big deep-rooted thing, that biggest thing Satan's had a hold of me all my whole life is rejection. So I took something as being left out. My son took the same thing as being left out, because we weren't invited to a lunch that my son really wanted to go to. And even when I was trying to explain it to him, I said, "Mikey, they just don't want a lot of kids around. It's a grown-up thing, you know." So I was rationalizing it to him, whereas inside I was going, "That's right, they didn't invite us." And so I'm sure he picked up on all that stuff. And so I'm telling him, even if you're hurt, if somebody hurts you, you got to, you know, handle things God's way. Yeah, I was saying the right things, but I was saying it with the wrong spirit, I guess. So I thought at the time I was helping him, but he was better, but he wasn't really getting it either. And now I can see why, because it was just so twisted what I was thinking. And it was just, he was picking up on the same thing that I was dealing with myself. Yeah.
The thing that started me to see things a little clearer, when she brought up, and this is something I didn't realize with Inner Healing Deliverance that we need to talk about. When I said to her, "Wait a minute, okay, I'll just say the Owen Herter thing's not a big deal." When Owen Herter was here, you know, the musician, okay, and and Mikey loves being a musician, kind of thing. All right, come on, folks, this is where you valley people, we got to get you out of the valley. People have a right, it doesn't even have to be spiritual, they have a right to make decisions that they have authority to make, such as who's going to go to lunch with the guest speaker. As the overseer of this ministry, as the person who invited the person or said yes to it, it would make sense based on natural authority that I would make that decision. Instead of like, you know, having a drawing or saying, hey, everybody who wants to eat lunch with Owen Herter, let's see if we can all get down to the restaurant. Who can sit the closest? Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to make decisions in life that are not leaving people out. See, some people see everything as I'm being left out. And some things are, you're not being left out. You weren't. There's no reason. Why would you need to be there? So she would see things through rejection. It says, oh, we're being left out. Come on, I'll go. And a lot of times parents will overcompensate or spouses will overcompensate and you get codependency. Oh, they left you out. I'll be the good one. I'll take you, you know, I'll take you shopping, buy anything you want. Oh, your friend, you know, oh, I, okay. Valley people sometimes don't get this. Maybe mountain people don't. Just because someone is having a life and you're not involved in one, that one tiny second of it does not mean you're left out. And something else that came up when we were doing this, people think, oh, some other things have happened around here, like, you're cliquish, you know, only certain ones of you get to do this or that. Let me tell you something. Do you know not only are you judging me, you don't know if the Holy Spirit's telling me what to do. You don't know if I don't just have, some things you just get to do. As a parent, there's some things you just get to decide. Hey, I'm going to the grocery store. I only want one of you to come. Come on. Now, if you pick the same one every time, and they're actually your children, unless you have a really logical reason for that, you might be hurting somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? You're loud. Gosh, don't get so crazy that you're like, do I take this one this time? And do I take that one this time? I'm like, first one to the car gets to go. Well, what if he's a faster runner and, you know, well, God, if wants the other one to go, then one will be in the bathroom and he can't get to the car first. Who cares? You know, if your kids know really, if you really love your kids and you give them true stability because you love them for real and you're not playing the games, they're not playing the games. Your kids are a reflection of your game playing. Okay? Your kids are a reflection of your game playing. If I'm the pastor, or that's what they tell me, and if I look at my kids sometimes and say, you're not going. They don't go, I'm the pastor's child. God forgive her, I'm judging her. You see what I'm saying? All right, sometimes you have to make decisions just like that. It's okay, you can do that. It doesn't even have to be overly spiritual. But when you can't do that without paying the price, you are now into the bondage of somebody else's control. What you'll learn this about me, I'm not going to be in anybody's bondage. God has set me free. So I'll just say, Lord, show them whatever, and vice versa. And I do want to shut this voice that speaks in us. I see that as something in this whole thing tonight that we all get to get free from, no matter what side or both sides you've been on. Okay, but what happened is, what she's talking about, when she even says to her son, okay, well, you just have to forgive her. That is saying, I did something wrong. Not only did you just judge me, you just undermined me in front of your kid. And then you want your kid to come to me to get deliverance? Don't undermine your teacher's authority at a school unless they do something that's illegal. We have got to quit undermining authority figures in our children's lives. Unless you want a kid who's so full of rebellion, they think they can do anything. Unless they're in bodily danger, then sometimes it's none of your business what the teacher decides. You're not that teacher. If a teacher decides that whoever's not using a red pencil doesn't get to go to lunch first, then the teacher can decide whoever doesn't use a red pencil doesn't go to lunch first. One of the main problems in our society is we undermine all authority, and it's rebellion, and our kids do not respect anybody, and they want to be an authority onto themselves and independent. An independent spirit comes from when you think, why do I have to do that? Sometimes they just have to do it because it's the rule. Well, I don't like the rule. Who cares? You're not the rule maker. You're not in charge of the rules. And some of you are so flimflamsy back and forth about everything, you don't even know how to make a rule in your own home, in your own, you know, your business. And you get upset and judge someone who does. God's got to set everybody free, folks. God's got to set everybody free. That's why everything's so messed up. So, you don't tell your child or your spouse or anyone else or in these groups to forgive someone who hasn't done anything wrong. You tell them, get the log out of your eye so you can see clear. And you never undermine someone's authority that God has given them. So, as the authority here, just using this example, and all of us, I can see the light bulbs are on everywhere tonight. It's like bright in here. Like, you're thinking about what you did with your kid and your school teacher. So this isn't about, this is just a situation that came up, and we use those because God used it to bring it up. And we're all mature enough to know. I know this is a group, unless you're new, you are not going to walk out going, can you believe Edie did that? You know so much better than judging her. Plus, you're way under too much conviction right now to give a hoot about what she did. This seems like nothing in comparison to what you said about anybody to your kids. We talked about undermining before. And all of us, oh man, there's just that Holy Ghost conviction thing just dropping it down all over this place tonight. Even we've gotten free from, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge how your parents' house should look? What? Who are you? When you are the judge, it is a very strong, superior spirit. It keeps you contending, trying to feel superior, but actually afraid you're inferior. It either makes you prideful and haughty, and you get rebellious as to God, who are you to tell me what to do? There is true authority. There's natural authority, there's spiritual authority, and God is the highest authority. His word is the greatest authority in writing that we'll have. But if it's not in there, like all the kids with red pencils get to go to recess, you're not going to go in the scripture and find something that says, if your teacher tells you, if you have a non-red pencil, you can't go to recess. You go to recess anyway, that teacher is wrong. God gives us, we're made in his image, we're made in his likeness, and he gives us authority. And we have to quit undermining other people. It may be something that you don't agree is a very smart way to do it. Maybe they have a reason for it. Maybe that's how they decide who gets to go in. It's the same as saying blue eyes, brown eyes. But they know if they say that, they'll end up in court for some kind of harassment thing or something. Girls or boys, I mean, you can't do anything anymore because somebody's parent somewhere is going to undermine whatever it is you choose to do. We actually try to make it where everything has to be so legalistic and laid out for us that a teacher doesn't even have the freedom to teach, that a pastor doesn't even have the freedom to do what the Lord would have them to do without looking at lawsuits everywhere they turn. I just happen to know a God who's bigger than anybody trying to sue me, because I have much more fear of him than I do of any of you. I've watched people try to sue me left and right. Zoop, there it goes. Zoop, there it goes. Zoop, there it goes. As long as I stay in his will, you can't sue me and win. If I get out of his will, I'm going to know it pretty fast, and I'm going to repent real quick, and you still won't win. I'm walking fearless. And if you do win, then I'm going to learn something from it that's going to completely change me, give me a powerful teaching, and make the devil wish I hadn't learned. So either way, I win. Either way, you win. If you have the fear of the Lord. So, this thing about judging, when Edie chose, because she was really feeling this, and she was doing what was right, had I sinned? So that's cool, because before she said, well, let's just go take all the air out of her cars, we'll slash her windows, and we're just kidding, and we'll just go eat somewhere else. How about that? You come out of the restaurant, your car's trashed. Oh, hey, things have gotten much better. You know, everybody's changing, glory to God. From glory to glory. Yay. I mean, you just really learn to just do what God showed you. But what I'm saying is, it's under when you judge someone, you say, well, we have to forgive them, and let's separate the spirit from the person. Okay, what spirit are we separating from me? Control? What are you judging me as having? You know what? Are you getting this? He says, judge not, lest you be judged. For in the measure you judge, it'll be measured back to you. Do you really want other people judging every decision that God has given you the authority and the right to make? Do you want everybody to be able to judge you as controlling? Everybody's looking really bad tonight. Yay, set the valley free. Okay. So we need to really have some discernment and get the log out of our eyes. This is a situation to get the log out of your eye before you touch it. So what should have happened, what should happen in our lives? I'm giving you the biblical thing to do because we are getting free from stuff. Okay, let's be real. We are getting free from stuff. So what would you do in this case biblically now that we're getting to this judge thing? Okay, you'd say to your kid, just an example. I'm just using an example. You know what? I don't have peace right now. The enemy's really bothering me right now. I know that I am out of God's will right now. So I got to go deal with this log in my eye. Let's just go home. Because the Bible says don't touch that splinter if there's one there till you get the log out. So you don't make judgments, period. But you don't label someone as being wrong or evil or having a demon when you're the one who doesn't have peace. Because that is judging. Everybody's like, oh. Be happy. Smile, have joy. This is okay. We're getting free tonight. We're just taking it deeper than most people take it because we want to be free from it. You don't want to be judged. You want God to protect you from somebody judging you. And you don't want to take his place in somebody else's life. And you don't want rebellious children who undermine, who feel like they don't have to respect authority. Because you never know when that authority, that teacher, that pastor, that father, that mother, even a grandparent or someone will be needed, will be used by God for direction and correction in their life. And when you take all that away by judging and undermining, especially, I'm telling you, ladies, if you've got kids, you need to quit undermining your husbands as hard as that can be when you don't agree with them, unless they are sincerely demonized in what they're doing. And get the log out of your eye before you judge everybody as demonized, okay? Some people can do things that you don't like, don't even agree with. And it doesn't mean that there is anything to forgive them for, okay? And so what we had to talk, because when Edie and I were talking, she said, well, you know, I showed him how to forgive you, and it really hurt him so bad. And I think it hurt him so bad because it hurt her so bad, and she was projecting that on him. And I said, you got to be kidding. I said, let me tell you, if he was raised without this log in your eye, you could tell a kid no. And they don't even need an explanation. And they're not wounded. They don't need an inner healing. They don't need a fancy dinner and a brand new bicycle or a surfboard or something to get over it. We need a really big parenting conference. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? When you feel that something, if you're that hurt, something is wrong with you. You need to get that healed because you're hurting your kids with your hurt. T.D. Jakes, I saw him on TV this week, and he said, whatever you don't deal with in your life, you will have to deal with it in your kids' life. He said, if you don't deal with it in your life now, you will be looking at it in your kids. I thought, man, is he right about that? That is generational curse. That is spiritual. My prayer is, God, I wish, and I didn't, and God knows all that, but wouldn't it be cool to raise a generation who know this before they have kids? you guys ought to suck this stuff up, you young people. Yes, I don't have to do so much damage to my kids. God, get it out of my heart. God, get it out of my heart. But the cool thing about God is he's big enough to fix it at whatever place you give it to him. But he's got to be the one fixing it, not you.